Will you please turn to 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll read from verse 23. These are familiar words, but sometimes because they are so familiar, we miss them. So I will read it slowly. And we look to the Lord that the Spirit of God will impress every word into our hearts. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was delivered up, took bread, and having given thanks, broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me." In like manner also the cup, after having supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as ye shall drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye shall eat this bread and drink the cup, ye announce the death of the Lord until he come. So that whosoever shall eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty in respect of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself and thus eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For the eater and drinker eats and drinks judgment to himself, not distinguishing the body. On this account, many among you are weak and infirm, and a good many are fallen asleep. But if we judge ourselves, so were we not judged. But being judged, we are disciplined of the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. So that, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone be hungry, let him eat at home, that ye may not come together for judgment. But the other things, whenever I come, I will set in order. Then turn back to chapter 10. We read from verse 16. And again, I hope that we will listen carefully and allow the word of God sink into our heart. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion or fellowship of the blood of the Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion or fellowship of the body of the Christ? Because we, being many, are one loaf, one body, for we all partake of that one loaf. See, Israel, according to flesh, honor they who eat the sacrifices in communion with the altar? What then do I say? That what is sacrificed to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? But that what the nations sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. Now I do not wish you to be in communion with demons. You cannot drink the Lord's cup and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Dear Lord, as we continue in Thy presence, as we think of the high privilege that Thou hast given to us, remind us, O Lord, of our responsibility. We pray that as we come to Thy table, we fully understand what it means. And we are in the reality of it, instead of going through the motion. Teach us, O Lord, how to eat the bread, drink the cup in a worthy manner, that Thou mayest be glorified. We commit this time into Thy hands. We pray, O Lord, that these words of Thine, even though they are familiar, that it will not lose its sharpness. Touch us deeply, that we may come in a worthy manner, that Thou mayest be satisfied. We commit this time into Thy hand and just trust Thy Holy Spirit to do the work. We ask in Thy precious name. Amen. The word church in the Greek original, it is ecclesia, which means the called out ones gathered together. Thank God He has called us out. Out of sin, out of this world, out of ourselves, out of the domain of the enemy. But we who have been called out, even though we are called out as individuals, in other words, we are called out individually, and yet we are called out together. That is the meaning of the church. Now, it is very true. The church life is not limited just to gathering. Even when we are not gathered together physically, church life is such a spiritual reality that it continues all the time. Whether you are alone, whether you're home, whether you're in the office, whether you are with two or three, church life goes on. But one of the major expressions of church life is gathering together. Because this is the very meaning of the word church. The Bible warns us not forsaking the assembly of the brethren together. We need to assemble together. We need to exhort, encourage one another. Especially in these last days, people, because of the pressure of the world, they may forsake the assembly of the saints. thinking that it was nothing. But brothers and sisters, do remember one thing. The Lord has definitely exalted us. Especially when you know that the days are near. We need to assemble together. Encourage, comfort one another. And of all the gatherings of the saints, the most important gathering is this, the breaking of bread. The Lord's table or the Lord's supper. Because it is commanded by our Lord himself. He definitely commands us to come together, to take the bread, to drink the cup, to remember him until he comes. So we find in the book of Acts, in the beginning of the church, we find in Acts chapter 2:42, how all those who believed, they persevered, they continued in the teaching and fellowship of the apostles, in the breaking of bread and prayers. After our Lord Jesus has instituted this breaking of bread, the church, from the very beginning, obeyed his commandment. They come together and break the bread. If you read Acts chapter 2, it seems as if they break bread every day. Whenever they eat, they break the bread. They remember the Lord. And later on, you'll find in the book of Acts, when it was not being done every day, at least on the first of the week, that is, on the Lord's Day, they come together to break the bread, to remember the Lord. But unfortunately, as time goes on, the simplicity and the purity of the breaking of bread begins to be lost. It has become a ritual, a religious ritual. The spirit of the breaking of bread seems to be lost. But thank God, from time to time, as you read the church history, there are always some people, maybe a minority, who wants to return to the purity and the simplicity of the breaking of the bread. And this is something that we feel very strongly. We want to return to its pureness and to its simplicity. We know that when our Lord Jesus gathered together with his disciples for the Passover feast, we are told in John chapter 13, he knew that he was leaving them. He came from the Father, and he was returning to the Father. He also knew that God had given him all things. And yet we are told he loved those who are his in the world so much, he loved them to the end, to the uttermost. And it was under that kind of atmosphere our Lord Jesus rose up and washed the feet of his disciples. You know, as we walk through the world, unconsciously, we pick up the dirt and the dust of the world. Even though we should not deliberately sin, but even without sinning, as we go through the world, we find that dust and dirt of the world will pile upon us. Just as in the old days, before they come to a feast, they usually wash the feet. Why? Because when your feet is covered with dirt and dust, and you know they do not sit and eat, they recline and eat. So when your feet is dirty, you do not enjoy the feast. Somehow is dampened the joy of the feast. So that's why they have to have feet washed, in order that they may have the full advantage of the feast. And dear brothers and sisters, there is a connection between washing of feet and the Lord's table, in a spiritual sense. Why? Because even though we wear shoes, we have stocks, and yet, spiritually speaking, we are still in the world. The Lord knew that his disciples was in the world. He was leaving, but he left them behind in the world. They are in the world, and yet they are not of the world. Now that really caused a problem. If they are out of the world, then the problem is gone. But being not of the world and still in the world, well, dirt and dust will accumulate. So brothers and sisters, because of his tremendous love for us, he is afraid, as it were, we will forget him. Strange. He is afraid, as it were, because we are in touch with the world, unknowingly our spirit is covered with dirt and is not as alert, as keen, as clear, as pure, as it should. Instead of seeing Christ and Christ alone, we begin to see many things. And the love towards Christ gets cold. He knew, he knows all our frailty. And because of this, he instituted the breaking of bread. Sometimes you may wonder, why should he ask us to remember him? Is that demand absurd? No. He knows us too well. He wants us to remember him because he loves us too much. So, brothers and sisters, this breaking of bread is an expression of the deep love of Christ. He wants us to be in love with him. He does not want us to be cold in our love towards him. For this reason, he gave us this breaking of bread. In a spiritual sense, as we come together to break the bread and drink the cup, it is a washing. Not our feet, but our heart. It renews us, refreshes us, and brings us into fresh, living communion, fellowship with himself, and be occupied with himself. And that is what is behind the breaking of bread. The breaking of bread is very simple. When you read the Word of God, you find all that is commanded is very, very simple. The Lord said, take the bread, eat, all of you. This is my body. Do it in remembrance of me. And then afterwards, he took the cup, blessed it, and gave to his disciples and said, drink ye all of it. The cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. That's it. How do we conduct this breaking of bread? Does it need an hour? Or limited by an hour? Is there any form that we must take? No. As the Spirit leads. So it is not a matter of outward features. It is a matter of inward reality. If the inward reality is there, time or anything else, formality, doesn't. When we come to the Lord's table, there are two things that we must remember. These are the meanings of the Lord's table. We find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the emphasis is on remembrance. The breaking of bread is a remembrance. Remembrance is looking backward. You have a history. You have a relationship. You have an experience. Something has happened. And you can look back and remember it. Recall it. Recollect it. So in other words, it tells us that something has happened. There is something that has definitely been done in your life. And because of that, you can look back and remember. And when our Lord Jesus said, "Remember me." Why? Because we have some experience with him. We have some contact with him, some relationship with him. We have experienced him. And that's the reason why we are able to remember. Otherwise, we have nothing to remember. This loaf, he said, "This is my body, broken for you." Some people think that it is literal. This loaf on the table, after the priest praying over it, a transformation happened. This little loaf becomes the real body of Christ. And you are really eating him. That is the teaching of the Catholic Church. Transubstantiation. Well, is it true? You know what the Mass is? The Mass is a replay or reiteration, reaction, reactivation of the Calvary. Of the cross. In other words, Christ is crucified once again every time a Mass is made. But we know that the Word said he did it once and for all. Never repeated. If we repeat, we are crucified him twice. And we are warned seriously about it. Then the Protestant will say, "Well, it is not literal. It is symbolic. This bread symbolizes the body of Christ." But our Lord Jesus didn't say, "This bread symbolizes me." He said, "This is my body." So it is just, is it just symbolic? If it's just symbolic, you can do it carelessly. Nothing will happen. We believe. When he said, "This is my body," he means spiritually. It is not literal, physical. It is not symbolic, mental. It is spiritual, real. In other words, when we come to break the bread and drink the cup, something spiritually real is going on. And if there's something real, spiritually real going on, the effect is tremendous. Whether you do it worthily or unworthily, we believe, as we come by faith, breaking the bread, drinking the cup, the Holy Spirit will make it real in our life. There is something spiritually real happening at the breaking of bread. It is not just a tradition. This bread speaks of the body of our Lord. The Word became flesh. What a tremendous empty. God came to be a man. He emptied himself. He took the form of a man, and he was obedient to the Father, even unto death, and that is the death of the cross. Tremendous empty. Absolute obedience. Complete giving. Nothing hold back. He died for us. So that his life can be released. We can eat it. You can have it. We can enjoy it. We can live by it. And not only that, because his body was broken, the veil was rent. We have the privilege now to enter into the holiest of all, to live in the presence of God. What? And he said, this cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. In other words, you find that God made a new covenant with us. Not like the old covenant, the covenant of law with the children of Israel. You do this, you do that, and then you will be my people and I will be your God. In other words, prove yourself first, and then I will recognize you. It is like our God is holding the hands of the children of Israel and trying to lead them into righteousness, into holiness. But how they struggle themselves out of his hand. No. With the new covenant, we find it is all I. I will do this. I will do that. I'm your life. I'm your strength. I'm your wisdom. I'm your understanding. I'm your forgiveness. I'm everything to you. I am your God, therefore you are my people. Grace. It was promised to Israel. One day, this covenant will be theirs. In Jeremiah 31, we find it. But our Lord Jesus, on that night, when he instituted the breaking of bread, he brought it to us. Today, we are in the joy and good of the new covenant. If you want to know what the new covenant is, read Hebrews 8, Jeremiah 31. Brothers and sisters, this new covenant is sealed by the blood of our Lord Jesus. In other words, it is permanent, eternal, unchangeable. What a blessing it is. He said, I will forgive your sin and remember it no more. He said, you don't need anybody to teach you. Outwardly, know the Lord, because every one of you, from the least to the greatest, will know me in yourself. The law is no longer outside of you. It is inscribed in your heart. I'm your life. I'm your power. I'm everything to you. That's the new covenant. It's sealed with the blood of our Lord Jesus. It's certain. Cannot be altered or changed. So every time when we come to take the bread and the cup, drinking it and eating it, dear brothers and sisters, something spiritual is going on. We cannot come to the table and leave without any change. The Lord said, when you do this, remember me. In other words, it is through his work that we come to know him. How do we know our Lord Jesus? We know him by what he has done for us. But just knowing what he has done and stop there, we are stopping short. Because we have to go back to the origin. Who does it? Who does it for us? We are not just here to enjoy what he has done for us. We are here to know him, to thank him, for he is the one who does it all. So you find in the matter of remembrance, even though we have the loaf and the cup, we eat the bread and drink the cup, enjoying all that he has done for us. But do not stop there. The Lord said, remember me. You know, it is very sad. Among God's people, we enjoy what he has done for us, but we forget the giver. We enjoy what he has done for us, but we neglect him. So the Lord said, remember me, not just my blood shed for you, not just my body broken for you, but it is me. Remember me. What occupies us is not what he has done only. What occupies us is the one who does it all. We love what he has done for us, but we love the one more who does it all. Now that is the meaning of the breaking of bread. Every time we come together to break the bread, drink the cup, dear brothers and sisters, if there is not a refreshing and a renewing of our love towards the Lord, appreciating his love, appreciating himself, we come in vain. That is what the Lord is expecting. And furthermore, we find in this matter of remembrance, it is an exhibition. He said, when you eat the bread and drink the cup, you announce the death of the Lord. This is an announcement, not by words, but by deeds. When we put the bread and the cup before us, we announce to the whole world, not only the world seen, but even the unseen world, what our Lord Jesus has accomplished. We are the witnesses. That's why we come to break the bread and drink the cup. We witness that this has happened. We witness that it is true. We witness that he has done it. We witness that he overcomes. It is an announcement, silent announcement. We exhibit his death to let the world see, and even let the unseen world see it. What a testimony. You know, the breaking of bread is the testimony of the church. It's one of the expression, the strongest expression of the testimony of Jesus in the church. Not only that, as we remember, look back, as we exhibit, now, we look forward to his return. Because he has promised us he will come back. He is our blessed hope. And every time we come together to break the bread, we are hoping that this will be our last meal on earth. Our next one will be at the marriage feast of the Lamb. What a blessed hope. So, brothers and sisters, you'll find there is such spiritual reality in it. Then when you look at 1 Corinthians 10, there is another aspect in the breaking of bread. And the word is communion, or fellowship, sharing the same together. And fellowship or communion is always present. Communing is not something of the past, nor of the future. It is always the present. So when we break the bread and drink the cup, not only we look back to what the Lord has done for us and appreciate it, but as we are doing it, there is a sharing in common. There is a fellowship going on. And you know, fellowship is always fresh and living. In other words, when we are breaking the bread, we are in fellowship with Him. He is our life. He sustains us. He strengthens us. Every time after the Lord's table, we should feel strengthened spiritually that we may walk in this world for the coming week. This is where the strength comes from. We do not go through the world on our own. We go through the world by the strength of His life in us. As we drink the cup, it is as if we once again experience the blessedness of sins forgiven, separating us from this world. A communing is going on. It is very, very real if there is faith. If we come in a worthy manner, it's very, very real. So, brothers and sisters, it is a communion, not only with Christ Himself, but as we find in 1 Corinthians 10, He said, because we, being many, are one loaf, one body, for we all partake of one loaf. Before we break the bread before us is the body of Christ. That body that He has taken when He came into this world. That body that lived for God for 33 years and died for us on the cross. But after the bread is broken, where is the bread? The bread is in each and every one of us. When God looked down from heaven, He still sees the bread. But it is a bread that has been scattered and united together among His people. We become the body of Christ. So the fellowship is more than fellowshipping with the Lord. The fellowship is fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters. We share together. What a blessing that is. If we only know what the breaking of bread is. But then, brothers and sisters, how shall we come and partake the Lord's table or the Lord's supper, the breaking of bread? If we really realize that it is such a noble, wonderful, heavenly, glorious, spiritual, real thing, then what should be our attitude when we come to the breaking of bread? Privilege is also accompanied by responsibility. So that's the reason why in both 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, it seems as if more words are given on this matter of how do we partake than what is partaking. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you find from verse 27 to verse 33, these are all words showing us how we should come to the Lord's Supper. Not unprepared, not just casually. There is a way to come. And the same thing you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. More words are the warning against eating the Lord's table and also the table of the devil. Think the contrast. If we eat the bread and drink the cup unworthily, what does it mean? We are always unworthy. When you think you're worthy, something is drastically wrong. When we come to the Lord, we always sense our unworthiness. So far as we ourselves are concerned, we are unworthy. We are the chief of sinners, the rebels. Who are we? It is He, it is His grace that makes us worthy. Always come with the sense of our unworthiness, that we may appreciate His grace, that we may appreciate how He has made the unworthy worthy to come to the table. We were outcasts, but now we are in the family. Brothers and sisters, this is a sense that we must have. Otherwise, we won't be able to take the Lord's table in a worthy manner. So the worthiness here is knowing that how He has made us worthy. I have to come in a worthy manner. That's what it is. Now, what is worthy manner? What is unworthy manner? If we come in an unworthy manner, What is the consequence? We are told here by the Word of God that we are drinking our own sin. It is said in verse 27, so that whosoever shall eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty in respect of the body and of the blood of the Lord. We are guilty. In what way we are guilty? Now you read on. Verse 29. For the eater and drinker eats and drinks judgment to himself, not distinguishing the body. In other words, when we come to the Lord's table, supper, we have to come in a worthy manner. And the worthy manner is, we must distinguish the body. Or to put it another way, we must know what we are doing. You know, you just don't come and you don't know what you are doing. Maybe you're thinking you are just taking a bit of the bread or just drink a sup of the fruit of the vine. Why, is that all? As common as that? No. You have to distinguish the body. You have to know what the body is. Otherwise, when you eat and drink, you are guilty of the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus. That's why it is so important that only those who are saved, only those who have a past history with the Lord Jesus, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, can come to the table. If you are not the Lord's, if you do not have an experience of the Lord, no relationship with the Lord in a living way, then you should not eat the bread or drink the cup. Because if you do, you're guilty of the blood and of the blood and the bread of the table. So be sure that when you come to the table, you have a history with the Lord. So you can remember there is a fellowship that you can enjoy and not just an outward form. So that's number one. Number two, is it true that everyone who has a past history with the Lord, who is saved, can come and take the loaf and drink the cup? Suppose you have a controversy with the Lord in your life. Suppose there is something in you that the Spirit of God had convicted you, but you disregard, even rebel. In other words, you do not have a real living relationship with the Lord. And you come to take the table, you are not distinguishing the body. You are guilty of the blood and of the body of our Lord. So in other words, we who are the Lord, before we come, we have to prove ourselves. Nobody will come and poke at you. But you have to prove yourself. To prove yourself, if you are in one with the Lord. If there is any controversy, unsettled relationship between you and the Lord, why not prove it? Examine yourself, judge yourself, have it all cleared up before you come to the table. It is very, very important. And if you read 1 Corinthians 11, you find it's very serious. The Bible says some of you are weak, infirm, and even falling asleep. In other words, that you will not be disciplined of the Lord. If we examine ourselves, that we will not be disciplined by the Lord. And even if we are disciplined, we are not judged, condemned with the world. So, dear brothers and sisters, such a privilege requires a great responsibility. And distinguishing the body has another meaning. And it is the body of Christ. You know, when we come together to break the bread, this bread not only represents the personal body of Christ that was given to us, it represents the body of Christ. In other words, not just a few of us here. All the Lord's people all over the world, it is in that body. There is no exclusivism here. All God's people are in that bread. And if we have any controversy with any of God's people, we are not distinguishing the body. Is there anything you cannot forgive your brother or sister, and you still, with an unforgiving spirit, you are not qualified to break the bread? Have it settled first. A great responsibility. I remember the story. One brother, before he was saved, somebody killed his father. And he was determined to revenge. But thank God he got saved. And one day when he traveled, he came to a place where there was the breaking of bread, so he attended. As he came into the meeting, he noticed that his enemy was sitting there. He couldn't forgive him. So he stood up and walked out. As he was walking outside, struggling over this matter, the Spirit of God convicted him. If you don't forgive your brother, God will not forgive you. And thank God, he took that hatred away. So he walked back. And after the breaking of bread, he stood up and testified. Brothers and sisters, this is what the breaking of bread means to us. It's real. It's living. We must extinguish the body. We hold nothing against any brother and sister. There must be that fellowship, living fellowship there. And then if you read 1 Corinthians 10, you may find it's very strange. Here you talk about when we come to the table, we are in fellowship with the blood and the bread, the body of our Lord, and we are in fellowship with one another. But here you find a connection between the table of the Lord and the table of the devil. There is the table of the devil. In other words, there is a fellowship with the devil. If we are in friendship with the world, we are in enmity with God. That's what the Bible says. You cannot eat the Lord's table and the devil's table. Should we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Brothers and sisters, today we find modern Christians are in fellowship with the world. They are eating the devil's table, as it were. And they come and take the Lord's table, as if it is nothing. Is there any fellowship between light and darkness? Fellowship between the Lord and the devil? So we have a great responsibility. How the Lord's table delivers us from eating at the table of the devil. Every time we come to the Lord's table, we are strengthened in our spirit to fellowship with our Lord, to deliver us from fellowship with the world. It is very clear in the Word of God. God is a jealous God. His jealousy is because of His tremendous. He is jealous for each and every one of us, lest we forget. So thank God. Every week, when we come together, the first thing, before we hear any message, the first thing is the Lord's table. And that should be the beginning. We all prepared. By His grace, we come to remember Him and to fellowship with Him and with one another. Isn't that glorious? The Lord. Dear Lord, these are Thy words. May Thy word sink deep into our heart. By thy Spirit, Lord, through thy grace, we want to come in a worthy manner, that thou mayest be glorified. We ask in thy precious name.